which is I hope you had a nice rest and you are energetic again and ready, you are charged to be attended to. We ask that this three-page document be circulated. You remember we gave our content researcher to tease out or isolate issues that might need our attention, even if not today, but that will assist us to explain to the public that out there what are the issues that were raised by provinces and by members of this committee and members of the public. I hope it outlined exactly what we requested. Now, I don't know if I know members are reading these documents now. It would be unfair for me to ask them to comment about it. But my co-chair has requested that I check with your colleagues whether are there other questions you want to raise to the department before we move to the second stage, and see if we can go to the third, that's the final stage. But we'll sensitize you of all the stages in question. But for now, let's just check whether are there questions that members want to ask the department. While members are thinking of those questions, maybe one for me, Mr. Lowe, is if some members in the two provinces, some stakeholders or members who will be affected by this change in the borders or boundaries, whatever you can call it. If some section in that particular province, let us say in Gauteng or Northwest, will come out and say, we feel our views were not taken into consideration, therefore, we want this bill not to be passed, will it have any impact if the legislature, which is the statutory body that's entitled to pass legislation, agrees with this deal? Will the views of those people who might want to raise issues that they were not properly heard, will that have any negative impact to the processes in this parliament? The views is to you and that is and everybody.
Stephen, I would like to suggest that the topic deals with it. It's a constitutional, it's a question of consultation on the amendment of the provincial boundaries. So it's the question of the consultation process that the constitution has to follow. It doesn't affect my vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I understand it, as long as there has been proper public participation or consultation, I cannot see that it will have any effect. If you take, for example, in the Marathon case, the Gauteng provincial legislature, in its negotiating mandate, indicated that it supports the bill subject to certain changes around Marathon. That was the negotiating mandate that it gave to this committee. And then, when it gave its final mandate, supported the bill. So, and that was after that it had public hearings between the mandates. And the court then decided that as long as there has been sufficient public participation, it cannot be argued that that legislature did not comply with its requirements in terms of Section 180. So I think it will depend on a case-to-case basis, but personally I think as long as there have been, or if that legislature conducted public participation of public hearings as he did, both of them, then against my personal view, I can't see that there will be any problems. But perhaps some of the state law advisors or Mr. Advocate Bernardo can assist in this regard.
Yes, sir. Let me start with the office of the state law advisor, and then Vanara will come in at the end.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with Johan that as long as there has been public participation and consultation, the decision makers at the end have to take a decision on what is in the best interest or the decision to be taken. So it cannot be possible in all situations to please everyone. A decision has to be taken one way or the other. So at the end of the day, the decision makers have to reach a decision. So if there has been public consultation, that is where the matter is resolved. If there's been a public consultation and people have been consulted and their representations considered, that's what the courts look at, not whether everybody was accommodated. Thank you.
Yes, sir, on your specific question as to what significance does the public input have on the actual decision, I think the courts have been clear, Chair, to say that there is a difference between a referendum and affording people an opportunity to participate in a legislative process. I think they've been very clear on that. In that what the people say does not necessarily mean that this is what the legislature should be about. However, the courts are also skeptical of just making public participation as a tool just to as a procedural compliance. But I'll agree with my colleagues that public participation, that opportunity to participate in these processes does not constitute a referendum. Therefore, the decision ultimately lies with the legislature. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for that assurance. We just want to play open cards and play safe here. Because you know, some of the comments are so disturbing. For example, let me ruffle feathers. But I'll make a statement immediately after this meeting. There's something that is in the media now about the release of Shabir Shaikh. And I was so puzzled to hear from the chairperson of the Human Rights Commission to say all the facts, condition, illness of Shabir Shaikh must be exposed to the public, satisfying everybody that his release was not a political maneuver. For heaven's sake, please, man. How can you say something like that? Because I think your illness, it's between yourself and your doctor, can be exposed to the public. I mean, that's a fact. Now, for someone to utter such a statement, some of us, I was so baffled. I said, no, I wish I didn't get it. But I'll make a statement about this because I don't think he is correct. He's the person who was supposed to say the opposite, to say, no, my rights have been violated if you are going to publish my status, unless I'm wrong, really. But that's for another debate anyway. As I said, I will make some statement after this. Yeah, I call them Pemba. Yeah, also. Yeah. I think we're in a stage where we can now go to the second leg, because I can see that we are satisfied with this. Honorable Ntuli.
No, Chairperson, I was just thinking that can't we have something which will say what is a proper consultation? I mean, where we can all agree, because sometimes you do this and then they'll say no, there were no proper consultation, and you do that and they said no, but the majority of the people was, let's say when you are consulting, because people are confusing the when you are negotiating and when you are consulting, they say, but the people said they don't want this, although you have consulted as if it was a referendum. Can't we have something to say proper consultation is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then if you have followed that, then it will mean that you have done proper consultation, so that all of us, opposition and the ruling party, because always we argue about this, whenever we know the consultation, then we seem to interpret it differently. Maybe if we can come up, or maybe the next parliament or committee, to come up with what we mean by consultation.
Yeah, to the legal gurus, what do you understand by consultation? I'm not going to blunt everything. What is your understanding of consultation?
Our understanding of consultation, Chairperson, is if you're required to consult someone, say if you are required to consult your co-chair, you're required to make them aware of the decision that you want to consult them on, and to solicit their view on that decision, whether they agree with it or not. Then if you suppose to take a decision, ultimately you have to take that decision having considered what they have said. So if you applied your mind to what they have said, and you've decided still to go against what their wishes were, you have consulted them. So consultation would vary from case to case. Even the Constitutional Court hasn't come up with a hard and fast rule of what consultation would be in different circumstances. So it would vary from case to case. Parliament may want to adopt a policy on what it would say its consultation would be, but then different circumstances would require different scenarios to be considered and for different processes to be put in place. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Madam.
Thank you, Chair. In addition to what has been said by my colleague, Chair, I think we also need to appreciate the difference between public involvement and consultation. For purposes of lawmaking process, we are obligated by the Constitution that the Parliament or the legislatures must facilitate public involvement. So in terms of looking at public involvement and its facilitation, the court, in fact, the Constitutional Court, specifically in the Matatia case, together with the Doctors for Life, they refused to actually set out exactly what is it that the legislature should follow, so that at the end of the day, one can argue that public facilitation, public involvement was facilitated adequately. And then if one looks at consultation, there's also the semantics, the use of words. If it says in consultation with, that the consequences thereof will be different at the same time as if one uses after consultation with, because there it then depends on what exactly are the ways that give you, that empower you to do that consultation. Exactly in one instance, you'll be required that you engage with the person until you reach consensus. And in another process, you'll be required that you just consult, hear them out, consider what they have said. If you feel that it's got merit, then you take it into your consideration and make it part of whatever decision you're making. As much as if you feel that it's got no merit, it's also up to the decision maker to say, I've heard you, and this is said, I'm taking your I'm taking your argument or I'm not taking them. So we need to appreciate the difference between consultation and facilitating public involvement and hearing what the people are saying. Thank you.
Manje, this is Pumelele. The process that took place between the two provinces last week, we call that public involvement or consultation. Between Northwest and Gauteng, because they conducted public participation. Umtamba is ruffled feathers now. So, Pumelele, something about Kuntum.
Thank you, Chairperson. I believe our answer would be found in section 74(8) of the Constitution, Chairperson, which actually reads as thus: if a bill referred to in subsection 3B or any party of the bill concerns only a specific province or provinces, the National Council of Provinces may not pass the bill or the relevant part unless it has been approved by the legislature or legislators of the provinces or provinces concerned. And if we look at section 118, which talks about provincial legislatures facilitation of public involvement, then there we are looking at facilitation of public involvement and not consultation. So public involvement has not been specifically defined to say if one is to be said we have adequately involved the public, we must have done A, B, C, D. As my colleague at some point, Advocate Banara, indicated in one of the other meetings we've had, that one cannot decide for the legislatures. It's up to them to decide. If one instrument for public involvement that we decide to use is to hold public hearings, then that would be enough. If another instrument is to go province by province and actually engage people from door to door, that's another form. But one cannot decide for the legislatures as to what exactly they do when they engage in public involvement. And for these purposes, my view is that what the legislatures were required here is not consultation, but it's public involvement. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Now, I just want to add on what my colleagues from the Office of the State Attorney have alluded to. Chair, the issue of public involvement entails one that, let me rather start by saying that legislatures are elected to represent the people. And it is therefore accepted that in so doing, they will act in what is in the best interest of the electorate. However, the Constitution, in an attempt to avoid voter apathy, decided to strengthen this democracy further by allowing people not only an opportunity to cast a vote and leave the elected representatives to do what they think is in the best interest of the people by allowing an opportunity or by creating an obligation on the legislature to facilitate the public involvement in its processes. It's not necessarily only the legislative processes. If you read the Constitution clearly, it says the legislative and other processes of the legislature. And primarily, this is aimed at affording members of the public, that is the electorate, an opportunity to input on legislation that will invariably impact on their daily life. That's why it is imperative that people are afforded an opportunity to have a say in the parliamentary process. Now, this obligation, the courts have held that it entails an opportunity that legislature should firstly afford people. For example, people will not participate if they don't know what businesses are before the legislature. So So one, public participation entails that people should be informed of what businesses Parliament is considering, so that they can participate. It is only when you know that something is taking place, there is this bill that affects my life, that I'll be triggered to have an interest in participating in those processes. So the second leg is then the means to for those people to participate in this process. Now, I think the committee took a wise decision in saying that these public hearings should be held at provinces, because these provinces are more accessible to the people. Because if you have public hearings here in Cape Town, the issue of funds comes into play, the means test. So if these hearings are brought nearer to the people, the means test becomes irrelevant. I don't know the extent of the attendance there, but I heard from Honorable Zizi that there were a lot of people, which is an indication that there must have been sufficient notification of that particular hearing. And it would seem that people turned up in numbers to attend this particular hearing. Other provinces, I believe, did publish or invite comments on this bill, which is compliance on informing members of the public that we are busy considering this particular piece of legislation. And in some provinces, people responded, and in some, as one would have predicted, there was no response. So from where I'm seated, Chair, I think we as the legislature or legislatures can only do so much. And I think what is imperative, what the courts have said, is that they respect the independence of the legislature. While the legislature, in performing its functions, need to take due cognizance of the applicable legislation, we've taken into account the issue of public involvement, and I think the legislatures have afforded members of the public, particularly those who will be affected by this piece of legislation, an opportunity to air their views. However, the courts, Chair, do acknowledge that members of the legislatures know more than members of the public will know. There are issues of governance that will be privy to yourself, that myself as a member of the public will not be informed of, which will invariably affect the decision on either way. So I think whilst I cannot sit here and give a guarantee that this legislation cannot be challenged, but I think I would say we've done sufficiently to ensure that if challenged, the challenge will not succeed. Thank you, Chair.
Before we recognize the Honourable Mekke, in time by Honourable Ntuli, I say this thing.
But Chairperson, I think what they have said is that as the legislators, we need to confine or to have our own thing to say if we are doing this. These are the things we're supposed to follow.
Yeah, before you come in, Honorable Mekke, Vanna wants to come back here again.
Yeah, I forgot just to respond to that, Chair. I think there is a unit here in Parliament that is public affairs. They deal with issues of public participation. They have developed a document to that effect that deals specifically with issues of public involvement. I don't know how far is that document, whether it has been adopted or I don't think it has been adopted, but I know, as a matter of fact, there is a document that seeks to outline exactly what needs to be done in order to fulfill this constitutional obligation. Thank you.
Thank you. Raul Mack.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe we've gone some way of answering, but for me, I still think the twist in the table is this thing that opposition parties are now coming up with every time. And that is what the Honorable Chris alluded to. They are now saying proper consultation. Now you consult. You can consult in different ways. By advertising, getting written submissions, or you can have public hearings. But now you miss a small town that's Skilpad Vrek van Dorst in Namakwalan, where there's only 10 people living, and they couldn't come or they didn't do any submissions. And these people, like with this bill we have, you have a few towns, a farm, one person writing in, there was not proper consultation because he wasn't consulted. And this is the thing that is keep coming up now. What is proper consultation? Now, proper consultation must be what the Constitution says we must do. And maybe we should just find that, even with the Scorpions Bill, and let me call it the Scorpions Bill, we went to public hearings, we had a whole full of people. But people were still saying there was not, consultation wasn't done properly because you didn't come to their specific area. And you'll find people, if you have a consultation in Guguletu, you won't find people of Seapoint coming there. They don't want to come there. And then they say they weren't consulted. So all these things, what we want is to cut out consultation. This is consultation, and if this is done, no one can complain anymore. Because you do the consultation, and afterwards, you'll always find people saying, we weren't consulted. Thank you, Jim.
Coach, I want you to come in now. Okay. I asked a question to Sisa and Kumele, and they dodged my question. Would say, what took place between Gauteng and Northwest? Would you term that public involvement or consultation? They didn't answer it. In fact, they went all over the show. They went to Tiger Valley before going to Kailich. Now, the second question, I want you, legal guru, to tell us the burden of proof. Who is supposed to prove if there was proper consultation or there was no proper consultation? Is it the legislators who must prove, or is it, let me for now call those will be complaining. Let me not call them appellants because those will be complaining, for example. The burden of proof. Who bears it? There we are. Before you respond, let me
remember.
I assume I'm a culprit here. But nonetheless, the problematic of a proper consultation will always come up in whatever way we may try to do it. Let somebody else say from Gauteng, there was no consultation in Gauteng, there was no public hearing in Gauteng. Would that person be justifiable? Because our consultation was a joint consultation. We went to Mirafong City, which at that time it was still the Northwest. That's where we went. And one who can probably argue and say that, look, you only consulted with people of Northwest. You did not consult with people of Gauteng. And rightly so, that Advocate Chuan said. The Gauteng permanent delegates, in the first instance, in their negotiating mandate, they negotiated on behalf of the people of, where we had also a joint consultation. We were at Mirafong, and we seek a
try to woo other provinces to agree with us that the people of Morafong, they don't want to go to Gauteng. Now, we were advocating.
Why were they wrong? Was that the consultation of our involvement?
To me, it was a public involvement. Because the public was there. What part of the public, I cannot say how big geographically is that, but the public was there. It was not elite people. It was the public, the grassroots. And to me, it was a public hearing. Now, furthering that issue is that...
What are you implying? Not elite people, what are you implying?
It was an ordinary person. An ordinary person in the sense that that person looked at the daily lives from morning till night. Those are the people. But if you talk of the elite people, you talk of the, those who know law, those who can interpret law. Those people don't interpret law. What they want is what they see at the table. We will go on. Now, yes, indeed, when the final mandate came, it says, it said that people will go to Northwest. That was Gauteng. People have to go to Northwest, and that was it. Jefferson, much as probably it must be said in Zizi, at the moment, sir, I'm speaking on behalf of Gauteng, and I will confine myself within those pyramids. I am not going to apply my own thinking. If Gauteng put me in a channel that takes me to hell, I'll have to go that route. At the moment, I cannot deviate. The Gauteng, and I think my province, it is on record. That's why you asked me yesterday, why are you so silent? My province on record saying to the people of Morafong at the stadium, the two-third majority of parliament has voted that you come back to Gauteng. It is a small thing that now remains that the state president must sign. However, they will have a public hearing and then go back to NCOP and pass the bill. That was the statement made. Now, do you think now I must now ruffle feathers and say, I wasn't there, I cannot... Gauteng said that, and I'm Gauteng at the moment. If it is, it's in the house. Speaking on behalf of my party or anybody else, I would express my opinion. But now Gauteng is on record. We have told people that we are coming back to Gauteng. I cannot give you from that. Thank you.
Yeah, other questions put to the people, to the affected countries. Questions put, Sister Pumelele Banara, Lapis Minerlo. Questions put. Brave enough can start.
Chairperson, I would present at the consultation in the Kalki Board. No, the public hearing. And there were a large number of people there. And a very, very small minority raised issues against the ball. Very small minority. That is my experience. There were thousands of people present. Difficult to say how many. There were a number of halls, different halls, that had a television system to communicate with. And everybody was given an opportunity to raise their support opposition to the ball. And very few organizations or people objected to the ball. I just like to place that on record.
Yeah. Still on you, Minerlo. Oh, you pass. Okay. Sister?
Chair, I know Mr. Lo was not implying that where there is fewer people objecting to something, then it means. Or alternatively, where there is more people who don't agree with something, then Parliament has to go with that. I don't think that is what it was implying. What I'm trying to say is, if Parliament consults on something or facilitates public involvement on something, and there's a majority of people against it, it doesn't necessarily mean that Parliament has to go with a majority. Because, as Vanara has said, it is not a referendum. At the end of the day, Parliament has to take a decision. And maybe the trick is in the use of the word consultation or public facilitation. Maybe we should be conscious that before Pumelele raised it, I didn't think about it. But probably we should be conscious of it when we talk about it. We should stick to the use of the word facilitating public involvement, because that's what the Constitution requires. Maybe it's misleading to say consult, because what Parliament is required to do is to facilitate public involvement. Now, facilitating, Johan, Fanny has indicated that he was there, and Bagomzi has indicated he was there, that public involvement was facilitated. And it was Mirafong, and it's Mirafong that we are talking about. It's Mirafong that has to return to Gauteng. So it would have been unthinkable of Gauteng to hold public hearings in Gauteng involving people in Mirafong. So I think for me it would be sufficient that people in Mirafong were included in the public hearings, and it was done in their area. It accommodated them sufficiently. The burden of proof, I'm not sure about that, but I would think that the court would require whoever said they had consulted to prove that they consulted. So they would come with attendance register or proof of whether there was in fact a meeting in such and such an area. There would be newspaper clipping, whatever that would be used to prove that in fact a meeting took place and it was there.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the consultation and the public facilitation point, I think my colleague has said a mouthful, and just only to add that, again, as he said, in terms of the Constitution, the obligation that the legislators have to meet is facilitating public involvement. So I think what he said there is actually clear and straightforward, and that the legislators decide on their own what is it that they feel is adequate. And then on the issue of proving what has been done, in terms of the criminal law system what is the principle standing is that he who alleges must prove. And so I believe even if it's not necessarily a criminal matter, but the person that's bringing the case first will first place their evidence and their case that this is what we are saying, and this is why we are saying this did not happen. And then as Parliament will be part of that application, they will also have to bring before the court to say that we are now having an allegation that we didn't do public facilitation involvement. This is what we did. And therefore, the court will have what the applicants will be saying and what the Parliament as respondents will be saying to say, as far as we are concerned, we feel that it was adequate of us to do public hearings or to facilitate public involvement in a form of public hearings in Mirafong. And we were on Mirafong on such and such a date, and this is what we can produce to the court, and that should be enough. So as I understand, as on the burden of proving, I don't think there is a burden to anyone, but to just place before the court, this is what the other side did, this is what the other side did. And then the court would look into that and decide then. From what we have been told, we believe that there was adequate public participation, and that's it. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I think my colleagues have said mouthful. But on the issue of consultation and public involvement,
really we should not conflate issues. What the legislatures are constitutionally required to do is to facilitate public involvement. Now, I believe before bills come to Parliament, the departmental legal advisors consult broadly. They advertise these bills for public comment, and they invite members of the public. So it should not be seen that this is the only opportunity that members of the public obtain to input into this bill. That's a point I just wanted to bring to the fore. And what we will require as the legislature is to facilitate the public involvement. Firstly, to inform them that this is before Parliament. This is what Parliament is considering. Secondly, you are now afforded an opportunity to air your views. It depends on how you want to air your view, by writing a letter, by attending a public hearing, if there is one. Because you must understand that it is not in each and every instance that there is going to be a public hearing. How we facilitate public involvement is a decision to be made by the legislature and not by the courts. The courts are very clear on that, and they're not going to interfere with how Parliament determines its internal process, which in terms of Section 45, the Parliament and the legislatures are empowered to do exactly that. So I'm not going to speak for people who will legitimately raise, I mean, in their views, what is legitimate. I just wanted us to confine ourselves to what is required by the Constitution of Parliament. And thank you, sir.
Can I now say you another is also that is a chair on top of this thing, but avoiding a burden of proof. I'll leave it at it has been covered by Musa and his men. Now, I want us now to discuss, we're done with the general questions now, even though from this table, I think we can now safely concentrate on the cross boundary bill now, just in time, and leave the Constitution for now. On the cross boundaries. Now, unless if I'm wrong, but as far as I'm concerned, I think it is desirable for us now to pass a bill of this nature in Parliament. But so saying, we're moving to the second stage now of moving a motion of desirability. Now, I think we'll go that route now. I think let me hand over to my co-chair. I think so that we check if colleagues, if you feel like we do, I mean, you will call for any person to move and we'll second. But if you feel it's not desirable, now we're in your hands. Let me hand over to my co-chair to run this leg. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Co-Chairperson, Honorable Members, Officials and Guests. Good morning.
Good night.
Yesterday we did discuss the bill, clause by clause, and we entertained some questions and so forth. Today, I think we are at the final stages of this bill. As it is ready now, everything is ready, Honorable Mink. Yes.
Thank you.
everything is in place. I do not want to deny any other member who still has perhaps overnight discovered a concern or a question that still needs to be posed. We open now for that opportunity before we proceed. On the side of legal advisors, any developments overnight, and if you didn't have any dreams or nightmares about this bill. Thank you very much. We have now in front of us the motion of desirability for the cross-boundary municipalities laws repeal and related matters amendment bill. Honorable Tulu seem to be agitated.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I would like to move the motion of desirability for this bill.
Honorable Ntulu has moved. Honorable member next to you seems to be wanting to contend. Oh, what is it, Honorable Mac?
Thank you, Chair. I wish to second the move of Honorable Ntulu. This is the ability of the book.
Thank you very much, honorable members. That's it with this part of the package. We now pass the bill. And I'm supposed to be having a golden pen to sign here, but I'm using an ordinary one. My co-chair, to come in.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I think we thank colleagues for passing the motion of desirability. What we'll do now is for us to see if we can now put the bill before the committee to go close by close formally. But we want to request that having passed this state of motion of desirability, we want to plead that because it's a package, let's defer voting for close by close on this bill now so that we vote next week with a twin bill as a package. But they were happy now because we have now expressed ourselves to say there's a need for us to pass this legislation plan, of which we are very grateful. Now, we have passed the motion of desirability accepted, but voting with the bill clause by clause will do it if you agree, because they want to, because this twin must not be separated, you know. So that the next week when we meet, after receiving final mandates from provinces, then we pass both the Constitution 16 and cross boundary, but also by closing in both, then we're done. Now, if you agree with that process, on the Constitution 16, are there questions, colleagues? The proposal is that either we if you feel we have to do the same, pass a motion today, or we defer on the Constitution 16, passing a motion and do it next week. After doing it, then we go look for the final mandate. After that, then we pass it. But we are still in your hands. But all the... No, I think let's do it next week. On the 16th, let's do it next week. Yeah, what they say. What to make sure that let's do it next week. Lapis and Fanny, do you agree? Sister?
No, they all agree.
Wonderful. On that note, I was checking if there are questions on the opportunity system because on the first boundary we're done.
Jefferson, this is not actually, it's just a request. I think we have spoken much about Section 24 of the Electoral Act. And I recall when you were actually putting a cat among pigeons, when you said, are we now in a way of changing the Electoral Act? And somebody said, no. With that sentence of deemed to be. Now, can we probably have that Section 24? Let's look at it so that by next week we know exactly where we stand and we don't fumble. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Coach. In fact, Honorable Mrs., we remind us of a very crucial issue. Maybe it was because of age or other things. We've got the copies of the entire Electoral Act printed. It's just a matter of delivering those to the members. Myself and the coach did have a look. We read what was in comparison to what we're dealing with. We have that act now. It's not only us giving you part, only that section we are quoting, but give the entire Electoral Act to the members. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you very much, Coach, for clarifying that. On that note, colleagues, as we said, that this document that was compiled by our researcher, so please go and look into this document, that when you come back next week, we'll be dealing with the final mandate. At the same time, we look into issues raised here. Some of the issues, as we agreed yesterday, might not be included in the bill, in these two bills now. But we'll try to put these things in our report. So this document is assisting us because it's able to identify those issues that were raised by provinces. We will therefore request the members to please, even though my office will be doing it, checking with provinces that they send those final mandates on or before, what date is it? The 10th? Yes. So that come the meeting time, all mandates are here. Now, if there is any other issue that members want to raise, this will be the person to do that. But if not, the two of us will be happy to release you today. That's make a day so that we release you in time. Because we're supposed to meet up until 5 o'clock today. But because we are so flexible and very good, very understanding, we decided that the meeting must not go even to 12 today. So that we are then until next week, Tuesday. But depending on whether members want to stay here, because there are other issues that are here in this bill. But we think we have done a very good job for us to release you now. Let's check if there are questions before we release members. But to the officials, I think there will be no questions to you. Those want to be released, by all means, please do. I can see Fanny is itching. Run, Fanny. Run, sorry, to catch your flight.
Thank you, Jefferson. That's exactly, Mr. Jefferson. I've got actually 101 questions now to raise, and I will expect us to engage us very, very actively. Jefferson, I concur with you with your statement. If all relevant material regarding to this, as we now rise here, let it get to our constitutional office. And make sure that the next day or the latest by Friday it should be at the provinces. So that they sit down, that you should not come with excuses and say, this is, you sent this thing very late. Because when I briefed them, they said, normally we get the minutes of the briefing from your select committees. So that when you come down here, we have acquainted ourselves. Why is that not done? I said, I was briefed on Thursday, I'm here on Friday. I would expect that to happen. So I don't want to have that loophole there. If we do that, just do it speedily so that we come back with a fresh mandate and they have had sufficient time.
Thank you. We have full confidence in Grace and Moss. They have assured us that they will even send this document that was issued yesterday so that the provinces must know exactly what was raised by the other provinces and members. So, that far, man?
No, Chair, I have nothing about the polls, but if there's an opportunity for some house rules and logistics to speak about. I have no more entitlements, Jay. And traveling from Beaufort West to Cape Town is becoming very expensive. Now, I also want to plead you and make a request if there's any entitlements that are around, if we can't borrow from people. Because we also have to come in on the 19th for the city. And what's happening? We heard from Grace that we can submit our claims. Well, the same procedure be next week. And on the 19th. Because in the WIPS meeting, the chief WIPS said she would get us an extra 6. But we haven't got that. Nothing has happened. And we are quite a few members that are running on our own tank, which is almost empty. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I was already informed that that will be taken care of by the committee section. Can Moss and Grace confirm this? Maybe for that, my coach, I want to come.
Thanks, Coach. This is a crucial issue that is being raised by Honorable Mac. In fact, some of us, at least the two co-chairs, have been here in Parliament since Monday morning. Among others, among checking the situation with the mandate, we were also worried about these issues, about the travel arrangements for members. Most can tell you we talked until our phones became red. But I can confirm now that it has been agreed that members will be assisted with travel arrangements for this meeting. The argument that we put strongly was that why should these members who are sitting here because of this crucial legislation be worse off than other members who are doing work as officers? Because there was this thing that was coming members must use their entitlement. Of course, we rejected that. But arrangements are in place. In fact, I am surprised why the secretariat has not yet contacted members to do this. But yeah, that has been taken care of.
Thanks,
Coach, for clarifying that. Thank you, Chairperson. My understanding that during constituency period, if you are called in either by a committee or by Parliament, they will provide you with a ticket. And forthwith, when Grace phoned me, said, Babams, if you are needed on Tuesday, can you come? Use your own ticket, we will refund it. And I'm still depending on that. I was actually talking to her. I said, look, go and now book for my plane. But she said, I'll bring forms for you. But she brought me the ordinary claim forms. I said, no, that is taken care of. It's an ordinary thing. What I need is the ticket. And you have to now tell whoever to issue out my ticket for going and coming back on the 10th. Now, for the sitting of Parliament, if Parliament is not going to give me a ticket on the 19th, I'm not coming. That is their baby. their baby now is to refund my ticket, take me back, and also give me my ticket after the 10th, take me back. And then on the 19th, it is now the parliament that will bring me and back. That's their obligation.
Yeah, as the Honorable Maker said when he opened this kind of work, says some of the logistical arrangements. No, let's assure you, colleague, that will be taken care of. Because, you are here for that particular purpose. It's not a normal sitting of the committee. We were considering our annual report and whatever, no. So, I want to commit the most and greater that I'm going to do that. You'll be refunded, you'll be taken back home. They'll refund your allocation. And I know. Now, before we adjourn, Nabi.
Thank you, Kosia. Just a request to perhaps the committee secretaries. Remember, in respect of Gauteng and North West, we do not only need a final mandate, but we also need evidence that those two legislatures have approved these bills, the Constitution 16, because remember, in terms of Section 74.8, NCP may not pass unless it has been approved by those two provinces. So just to give us a final mandate, I don't think will be sufficient. As I understand it, those legislators will have to actually sit on the matter and approve it. So they must clearly indicate, or in the documentation, there must be a clear indication that they have approved the bill. Otherwise, I don't know whether, if we don't have that indication, whether the NCP will be able to possible. I don't know what that's good to know whether he agrees with me, but just the final mandate will not be sufficient. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, it's not the first time we amended the Constitution, and provinces have been doing that. I think they know what to do. But thanks for reminding us that we sensitize them about this requirement. But I think they know it's very crucial, because if one of the two provinces messed up, then we're back to zero. Want to come in, Vanana? Okay. On that note, before we adjourn, can we arrange lunch, or we're all leaving, because some of us will be leaving before after 12. Okay, if lunch is arranged, then let it be early. Let's make it, quarter past 12. Quarter past 12, yes. And the same market building. I'm told that today lunch is no more that sweet thing where they put sugar in the meat. We're Africans, man. Yeah, on the twice. The meeting. Okay, before, let me know what the coach here. I think you also will attend the meeting. From my side, thanks very much, colleagues.
As Honorable Mzizi highlighted some of these things, the Secretariat has assured us that by Friday, the minutes of this meeting will be in the provinces, as well as the other documents. Thank you, Honorable Members.
Go well, go ahead.
Yeah. So we adjourn now. Thank you very much.
You say the prize of freedom is internal vigilance. As I say, democracy is the most expensive form of government. I am not. No?
Thank you very much.
Oh, of course.